Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this Jetcast. I'm Joel, joined by David Mector. It is Wednesday, the 19th of June, 2024.
3, 2, 1,
yeah! So, this pulling back the curtain, my son is still awake. He's lying in the bed behind me. And me and Damon usually do a 3-2-1 countdown. And this time when I did the 3-2-1 countdown, Arthur's behind me shouted, "Blast off!" And that has completely thrown me. It is Wednesday the 19th of June, 2024. This is episode 315. Damon, what's up? How's it going?
I'm learning how to count. That's what the fuck I'm doing. I don't know about you. I got a good teacher. Did great. Little guy fucking rattling off his numbers like he's a genius or something. Good for him. Good job.
Oh. He's obsessed with clocks at the moment. Just absolutely can't get enough of clocks and time and numbers.
Really? Huh. Like he likes the non-digital kind? He likes to see the little hand
big... clocks. Yeah. Yes, nice. Loves it.
Bet you he's a big fan of the clock towers, right?
Yes, loves Big Ben related things. Mm. He has been to Big Ben, but not since he was a baby, so right. I was thinking of taking him back there.
How long of a commute is that for you, where you're at?
2.5 hours on a train.
Okay. All right. So it's not like it's right around the corner, but, you know, it's not too bad, right?
No. I'll only do it for special events. Like, I am planning on making the trip up to the old All-In at Wembley Stadium, which I don't know if I mentioned that on the show, that I went last year with Sipsy and Editor Dan, and then I'm sure I've told this story already, but then I asked Sipsy, I was like, "Oh, we're going to go back this year." And then he said, "Oh, well, you complained so much last year that I thought you wouldn't want to go, so I bought a ticket without you." but there's someone else bought me a ticket, so I just seemed cursed to have to watch AW programming against my will. But yeah, I'll be going up there. So I might bring the kids, bring the wife, not to All In, because that would be cruel, but take them to see Big Ben, and she can, I don't know, do something with them that day when I'm...
Look, you can get her to drive.
I could get her to drive,
Really test out.
I don't want to push my luck.
take it easy. Take it slow. I actually had a moment where I was going to pay an exorbitant, that's the word I'm looking for, probably mispronounced it, amount of cash to come to your neck of the woods to see one Liam Gallagher do the definitely maybe 30th anniversary. He's doing all the fucking Oasis songs. And I'm like, oof, how can I make this work? Obviously, I didn't, but I got to get back. I mean, I'm craving a long flight. It's in my future. I bought a treadmill, or at least like a walking thing. So I'm going to get my steps in. I'm going to get back to game shape. I don't know. I kind of want to get back to Japan. I'm kind of feeling it. You want to go to Japan, Joel?
I do want to go to Japan. What do you miss the most about Japan?
You know what I miss most is, obviously the food and the drink and all that. I miss the randomness that occurs. Like the idea of, all right, I'm complete. My anxiety is at a 17, but I got two strong zeros in me. So I'm going to go into this tiny restaurant and be the biggest guy in here and not give a fuck. And then have the greatest night of my life. You know what I mean? Like, I miss that randomness. I think that's probably number one. How about you?
The vending machines, the drinks vending machines, because they're so versatile. Whatever mood you're in for, whatever sort of drink you fancy, they've got one for all occasions.
Yeah.
Whether it's a little bit chilly and you want a ridiculously sweet hot coffee in a can, or a little tin of warm French onion soup, or corn soup, or the grape. I love the artificial grape flavor drinks. They're some of my favorites. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I miss it all. I miss it all. I don't know if you do this, but on YouTube, there are people that just walk around with a video camera or like a GoPro and just go on long walks. It's like an hour and a half of just a guy recording around. And I'm just like,
yes, I've got a whole playlist full of walks.
Do you really? Nice.
Yeah. And a lot of walks in Shenmue, which is it's really plumbing the depths of a geekiness for not only watching a video of someone taking a long walk, which is probably a bit mental in and of itself, but someone doing a long walk in Shenmue, that is, I shouldn't be admitting to that, should I?
I haven't broken down, gotten in the Shenmue. I haven't seen it on Steam. Now, I will say this, I haven't looked, but I haven't come across it. But there is a game that I have on my eyes kind of set on, and it kind of like, I'm actually like, oh, this looks really awesome. And I just like the graphics of it. I don't know if you've heard of the Hades?
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah.
And I would like to play it myself.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to do a little Hades podcast. Apparently, the second one is even better than the first. The second one, you play the character of a witch, a young lady who... kick some ass and take some names, and I don't know. I was like, "Oh, this looks real!" Like, I love the animation style of it. Like, I don't know, there was something about it. I was just like, "Ooh, this looks really fucking good." So I have it on my wish list. I'm hoping maybe there'll be a little bit of a sale to knock it down a little bit. But if not, I'm gonna pull the fucking trigger on it. I'm gonna grab that. It's really good. I've been playing a lot of the Warhammer game, the turn-based game. I dig that. And what else? Oh, there's this game, Vampire Slayer, I think it is. And it's like this 8-bit game. But, like, you don't shoot anything. Like you just have to dodge these fucking, you know, mummies and bats and shit. And you pick up different weapons as you go. And it's so easy, yet so hard. Because, these fucking things come at you at waves. And you got to move and... Like, that's your only really thing, because the weaponry fires automatically. So you don't even have to fucking touch it. You just got to get the fuck out of the way and position yourself. And it's great. I love, like, fucking head faking a mummy. That's so great. Like, breaking his fucking ankle on this move. Like, I'll go one way and just go boom, boom, cut left. Like I'm in the NFL or something.
Is it Vampire Survivors you're talking about?
Survivors, is it? You might be right. Let me see. Let me do the Google foo here.
As if it is Vampire Survivors, one of my favorite content creators, James Stephanie Sterling, has done.
That's it.
It's written a lot of stuff for Vampire Survivors. So yeah, I've heard very good stuff about that as well. Again, not played it, but the problem is I've not yet invested in a new games console. My birthday is coming up, so maybe that might be a good time for me to get a PS5. And I really want to get one so I can play the Elden Ring DLC.
Why don't you get the fucking
Steam Deck? Yeah, those two games you mentioned. I don't know what that is, and it's scary. <Don't be> scary. No, I want a PlayStation, because there's some PlayStation exclusive games that I don't know. I'm just a PlayStation.
I understand. Fan. I understand. What if I told you could play PlayStation games on the Steam Deck? You can emulate any fucking other console, right? You can. It's handheld, so it's kind of like a Switch, right? Nintendo Switch. Graphics, hardware, fantastic. And you can dock it, so you can stick your dick in. No, you can dock it and play on your TV. You can play in an office, wherever, and take it with you. It's very versatile, Joel. I'm telling you, I love it. One of the best things I've bought this year.
It is very tempting, because all I've been playing at the moment recently is my little SNES Mini with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a bit of Yoshi's Island, Super Mario World, and the children. Well, I say playing it with the kids, I mean forcing them to watch me play. And when Esther's saying, my turn, Daddy, I'm like,
no,
fuck off. No, you're rubbish at this.
Fucking shit. Get the Steam Deck, brother. I'm telling you, because you can emulate all that. You can have every fucking console on this little machine. Genesis, your Super NES, Dreamcast, and then you get your fucking ROMs wherever, wherever on the internet they might be. And you're in business, brother. You're in business. I'm telling you, that's the move. It's the fucking move. Do it. Get out your credit card right now.
You're selling it to me. I like it.
Look, if I like it, and, you know, I got the attention span of a fucking gnat, it's perfect for it. It's absolutely perfect. Again, you can pick it up at any time, sit on the couch. You feel like you're actually spending quality time with your wife when you're really not. You're playing video games. But at least you're not holed off in your office. It's well worth it. I think the people who listen to this show who have one will also be in my camp and say, that's the move. That's the move you got to make.
Well, in the meantime, I will be watching videos from the Wandering Through Shenmue YouTube channel. And they've just uploaded a new one.
Really?
It's Warehouse Number 8. So it's 1 hour, 1 minute, and 26 seconds of footage from the balcony in Warehouse Number 8 in the new Warehouse District.
Wow.
I'm just sort of skimming through, and there's not really much going on. There's some people coming and going in and out of the office up there. But yeah, it's an hour long video of a computer game warehouse.
Maniacs. Absolute fucking maniacs. Well, I love it. I love dumb shit like that, though. Like, there is something like very peaceful about it. Nobody, oh my God, I got to tell you my new obsession now. Here we go. Again, I have plenty of them. And I get hyper fixated, and then I never see him again. But now I'm into, and specifically, mind you, Korean ladies who camp, and they have these fucking tents that are like bigger than my house. And a lot of times they're solo. We watch one that's solo, two that are solo. She just goes out there. Never a sunny day, always fucking pouring rain or whatever, but she sets up, and the inside of these things, like, they have like little cabinetry and like cooking plate. It's unbelievable. Like, they build a fucking house in a day and they tear it down in a day. We watch them every night, every fucking night. We're watching one of these camping videos. It's ridiculous. That's what we do. But yes, I'm obsessed with them now. I watch them all the time. They'll be your new thing, I guarantee it.
Yeah, I'm always up for niche YouTube content like that.
Yeah.
Like, the more obscure and mundane, the better.
I agree. Speaking of which,
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Right, nice segue. Perfect.
Oh, no, but before that, while we're talking about obscure, bizarre things, Derek's written in to say, what are your thoughts on Desperado's Invitational? Love it, hate it, more nudity, less nudity, more dick jokes, less dick jokes. I haven't seen it. I've got no intention of seeing it, because from what I assume, it's just sort of men getting their willies out and running around, which, fine, if you're into that kind of stuff, great. I've got nothing against it, but I'm not going to be paying money for it.
No.
But so friend of the show, Jay Michael, was quite upset with me because I didn't mention it at all on the show. And I said, well, it's not New Japan content.
Right.
You know, at a stretch, it's sort of New Japan tangential because of, you know, the Desperado thing. But I just said, I'm not really interested in doing it. I wouldn't watch it if you paid me. And then, sorry, I'm just distracted by the football. Switzerland just missed a really good chance there. And then I said, I was sort of jokingly, just to show my sort of contempt for this Despy Invitational, I said, I'll only watch it if you pay me. And then he took that at face value and was like, okay, great, PayPal or Venmo.
Oh my God.
And then I was just running with a bit. Sort of going into hustle mode. I was like, well, why do a one-off payment when you can go to redcircle.com /shows/super-day-cast and set up a monthly recurring donation?
Oh no.
And I was just having a bit of a laugh, right. Kind of tongue-in-cheek, doing my sort of cheeky hustle. And then a few minutes later, he just messaged back going, are you okay?
Oh,
is everything all right? Oh, like, no. If you need money, just let me know. I was like, oh God, I felt awful. I thought my cheeky little banter had come off across as like desperate destitution. I can't make ends meet. And I apologize.
This is not for nothing. This is the second time you've done that. Not I won't spill the beans on where the first one was, but your messages do make it sound like you are impoverished. You are ready. Your house is ready to be foreclosed upon.
I'm not rich. Let's put it that way. Oh, no. You know, supporting a family of three on one salary is a challenge. So I will take any excuse to plug the deli where I've been dishing out some absolutely sizzling pastrami.
Unbelievable this week, huh?
We've got some juicy morsels.
I mean, no bullshit. I'm reading some of these text messages, and again, I wake up and there's 64 messages, and I can't read them all because, you know, that would be insanity. But I try to skim through and give a couple of emojis just to make sure people know I'm alive. Some of this shit, holy mackerel! just sign up for the I can't imagine a better value. Like, if you're a New Japan Pro Wrestling fan, I can't imagine a better value. I just can't. It's unbelievable. And some of the fucking shit that we were, again, it's hard to some of the stuff we confirm and all that stuff, but some of the stuff was like, whoa, just whatever. Maybe we'll hint at it a little bit. But yeah, it's, I'm not doing this for clickbait bullshit. Trust me, I don't give a, you don't have to, but I'm just telling you, if you hopped in today, even if you just hopped in today for the $5, I guarantee it, it'll be worth it. I guarantee it. How about that? I guarantee it.
Yeah, just a lot of happy customers there in the Discord. No one complains.
What was some of the reaction? Like, I'm not going to tell, I'm going to say, you, and you know which morsel I'm talking about. What were some of the reactions?
Amusement. I mean, people just finding it absolutely hilarious, but not surprised based on other tidbits I've put in there before. Mm-hmm. But if someone who hadn't followed that, the other stuff that I've left prior to that, had heard this story cold,
yeah,
I think it would have blown their mind.
They would have been like, how?
Absolutely sensational, isn't it?
How could this happen in a quote, end quote, professional promotion? Like, it's just unbelievable. And again, I we'll hint at it, I'm sure, a little bit, but like for the reasons, we're just kind of like, wow. I mean, that seemed very odd, but okay, whatever. Very interesting. Let's just put it this way. I hate the fact that we're dancing around it because we have to.
Do the equivalent of the eyes emoji.
Yeah.
We've started annoying people in Voices of Wrestling Slack for doing that as well.
I know. I mean, look, we get it. But just do yourself a favor. It's $5. And I'll tell you what. If you don't at least get a chuckle out of it, no, I was going to say I'll give you your $5 back, but I ain't doing that. Fuck that.
No, I won't.
Fuck that. That's too much. Honestly, it's not even that. If it were just a matter of you handing us $5, And you were like, oh, I don't give a shit. I would hand the money back to you. I swear to you. But like the fact that I have to go through fucking hoops and all that shit, that ain't happening. But trust me, it's just unbelievable bullshit. Unbelievable. All right. And how we got word of it was just even more crazy. But anyway, what do you think? What do you want to talk about first? You lead the way.
Let's talk G1 first.
All right.
Because I think that is the big story of the week. So we have got 18 of the competitors announced, so 9 in each block. So in A block, we've got Naito, Shota, Shingo, Sanada, Great Khan, Zack Sabre Jr., Gay Kid, Evil, Jake Lee, and the winner of the A block play-in. And in the B block, we've got Hiroki Goto, El Fantasmo, Yotsuji, Jeff Cobb, Henare, David Finlay, Ren Narita, Yuya Uemura, Konosuke Takeshita, and the winner of play-in B.
Nice.
First thoughts. This is tremendously exciting for me. Like, this, it feels like a new era. And everything we talked about last week, like a lot of the stuff that we said we wanted to happen has happened.
Yes.
Which is great. It's very, very exciting. And what I find the most thrilling about this, Damon, is I'm starting to see clear alignment of what we want as fans and what the company are delivering. Because there's been just so many things where we've wanted just something little like a G1 without Torriano in it. But we're just like, well, you know, the company always put him in here because, you know, there's a loyalty, he's 10 years, a night off, blah, 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 all this horseshit. But now they're starting to do it. They've got rid of people that we thought they should get rid of, and they are including the people that we want to see included. There's no convoluted kayfabe justification for the guys that they've cut and the guys that they've included. They've not bothered with that. It's just a simple case of the shitters are out, the olds are out, and it's loaded up with the guys who have the future potential, which is how it should have been. So that is what the biggest takeaway from that is that I feel, I don't know if this is anything to do with Tanahashi's 10-point plan, but the sort of the future direction of the company, just based on how they've laid out this G1 climax, is very exciting for me, because they're laying the foundations for the future here. Last year, I think having that 32-man field helped us clear out the dead woods. You know, we've got rid of the weeds, we've got rid of the, you know, the predators. And what we're left with the 20 best heavyweights in New Japan, plus other companies, it may not give us five-star classics, you know, back like that we get in, you know, 2017, 2018, 2019, but it will give us answers. Exactly what we talked about last week. This is the final fraud watch. Like, there's no excuses now for these guys on the bubble. Guys that we're side-eyeing, you know, guys like Ren, Okan, Phantasmo, Finley, even guys like Henare or Yuya. You can't hide behind the excuse of, oh, I was, you know, they're in a shit block with bad wrestlers and, oh, it was the scheduling, blah, 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 blah. No, there's no excuses after this. If these guys don't deliver after their nine matches, then that's it. They're in trouble because the next guys are waiting. We got Oiwa in Noah looking great. You know, Callum Newman may make it into this one. Oleg Bolton, even the guys out on excursion like Nakashima, Oscar Loiba, they want to crack it as well. Maybe even some of the juniors might be thinking about moving up to heavyweight at some point. Thinking like Kevin Knight or maybe Kosei Fujita after a few years. So these guys have got to deliver, because if they don't, they're out, because the company are now showing that ruthless side that we've wanted for years. And I think it's very encouraging.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. Like, not only did we get all the steak, right, that there is to give, we have qualifiers that also make a ton of fucking sense to me. So, like when you look at those qualifiers, we have guys that, quite honestly, are either A, past their prime, or B, haven't really done much in a, you know, quote, pro wrestling sense this year to say, okay, you're definitely in. Like, as much as we love the Taichi, like he probably should be in a qualifier. If you just base his fucking year, like the results of the year, like, it makes sense. And there's plenty of guys, and fingers crossed, where you're going to get a really solid amount of those guys putting over. Let me put it this way. There are opportunities for guys to put over younger guys, right, to get into. And once again, we talked about it at great lengths last week with specifically Hiroshi Tanahashi. Like, his the value that he brings in putting somebody over to get into the tournament is tenfold of what, you know, again, I use Night 7 in Nagata as the fucking reference point. Like, the value's there. Tomohiro Ishii, who, again, we love, and we I feel like we put over as strong as we've put over a wrestler in a long fucking time on this podcast, getting that opportunity. And again, putting people over, hopefully, right? There's plenty of, like, the story of TJP getting in. Like, him, you know, on the bubble. That's fine. Callum Newman, same thing, right? And the names that are in, you're exactly 1,000% right. Guys like El Phantasmo, guys like Yota Tsuji, guys like Gabe Kidd, why not? Let's throw his name in the mix. Guys like Shota. It's like, now's the time. Like, the spotlight is as bright as it can fucking possibly get. you might go 3 and whatever, right? You might not even make 500. But like the opportunities are there in both blocks for guys to make a name for themselves. And that's all that we had wanted for quite a long time. Quite a long time. The young guys that are in the qualifiers, trust me, I really feel like they deserve to be there. And the young guys that are in the blocks are the people that we've been begging, make a move on. Let's fucking go. And they did that. And not for nothing, like the involvement in both blocks, not a lot, but like legitimate guys that, okay, you know, your mileage is going to vary on Jake Lee, but still, there's a reason for him to be there. And the fact that he's in the same block as Naito is pretty nice. Look, we knew this G1 was going to be different than many in years past, where you had those guys that you just like, okay, I can't wait for Okada and whatever in that block. Or you couldn't wait for Will and whoever in that fucking block. That's still there. Trust me, that's still on the table. But I think I'm more excited by the fact that I don't know how El Phantasmo and Ren Narita are going to fucking work out. And I don't know how Gabe Kidd and Zach is going to work out. Like I'm excited for that. I'm genuinely like the sky's the limit. Like I feel like we for the first time in I can't remember how long, like this to me feels like clean slates for just about every single guy in there. And the people that don't necessarily have that clean slate, you know you could depend on. You know you could depend on Hirooki Goto. And we said it last week. You know you can depend on Jeff Cobb. You know you can depend on Zach. You know you can depend on Naito. Like, you know you can depend on Shingo. Like, that's... And then fill it out with the rest. It's exciting. Like, I might be out of my mind on this one. But when I saw the lineups, as well as the qualifiers, Joel, like I couldn't help but think back to like some of the first G1s, like the Musketeers and Vader and that kind of stuff, where you had a really good feeling of that the talent that was there. Trust me, it's not like that was a lot of mistake, but it was kind of like a big next level. And maybe I'm building this up to be bigger than it really is. But like this year's G1 has that potential. It truly does. That's exciting. So yeah, it could fall flat. Let's be brutally honest. It could fall flat. But the possibility there that it doesn't. And what if it doesn't? Like seriously. This could be one of the best summers in New Japan in years, just because of the uncertainty, just because of the uncertainty, number one, but also because of the certainty in we're moving along in this direction. Like the fucking boat is driving in the right direction. And the G1, this could be a fun ride. And I think given the cards that we have right now, I don't think we could have asked for more. I don't think we could have asked for better. Like, is there anything looking at that lineup that you would have changed?
Well, we got a question from Matt. He says, booking solely for your own amusement, who would you swap between the G1 blocks and the play-ins? Well, the only person that I was upset not to have in there was Taichi, and he may yet get in. And the same with Yoshihashi. I really love Yoshihashi. I thought he would have been a great addition. He might get in as well. You know, Ishii, in terms of the work rate, would be great, but just physically, we're not sure he can hold up to a meat grinder like that. But it feels like splitting hairs. I think like the big picture stuff, they've got on the money here. Like I said, they got rid of the shitters. They got rid of the old guys who can't do it anymore. And they're focusing on the younger talent with the long-term futures and, you know, finding out who's got it and who hasn't. And I mean, I was going to ask you, is there anyone in that field of 18 who you would say is decisively fraudulent or decisively washed and like physically unable to go anymore? And I'm struggling to pick out people where I'm just like, yeah, they're shit.
There are people that I like more than others, obviously. I think everybody has that. But there's not shit. Like, for like, even like, if you don't like evil, okay, I get it, you know, but if we're being dead honest here, if he got the tap on the shoulder, I think he could do incredibly well. He could do very well. He could have a great match. Again, whether we get that or not is neither here nor there.
It's a world away from like a semi-mobile Tangaloa.
Right. Or fucking, you know, Fale. Or fucking even like Yujiro. You know, like, does anybody want to see 8-9 matches with fucking Yujiro Takahashi? I mean, I can't say that I do. And even guys like Kenta, you're just like, okay, I don't know, I'm perfectly fine with him putting people over. I'm great with that. And again, the people that I think Tai Chi's probably the one, but if I'm being brutally honest, like, what has he done this year that he would deserve to be in the G1?
Yeah. The kayfabe justification isn't there. And again, we'll get on to talking about the play-ins, but yeah, it makes sense from that aspect. I mean, I suppose my next question would be who's on fraud watch for you this year? Who are the guys where you're looking at thinking, if you don't deliver in this G1, then you're in big trouble?
I mean, I hate to put Great O'Khan in that pile because it just hasn't happened. And, right. You know, people don't like Jake Lee a lot, and I get it. I would love for him to be a pleasant surprise. I really would. Look, there are plenty of people in Noah that maybe I would swap him out with, but being that he's the guy that's in the mix of the New Japan, you know, Los Ingobert and Lobel is, you know, whatever. He's the guy they chose. I would love to see him step up big time. I mean, again, El Fantasmo's got to be in that, right? Like he had a nice little vacation in strong tag land. So if I'm taking two from Block B, I'll say El Fantasmo and I'll say Ren Narita. And Block A, I'll say O'Khan just because fucking why not? I feel like I know what I'm getting, but okay. And like I said, Jake Lee, I'd like to see him fucking turn some heads. Like, if he has it in him, I would love to see him turn some heads. But those would be the two. But even then, like, again, am I just stretching that a little bit? I don't think this is, like, given the cards.
Yeah,
the
bar's raised now.
What's that?
The bar has been raised.
Yeah.
We've got higher expectations now, so we can have these conversations.
It is amazing. Like, look at the names. Like it's funny because I was having a conversation with someone who kind of fell out of interest of New Japan, hasn't watched it in a long, long time, to be quite honest. And he saw the G1 names and he's like, I don't know, half these guys, I fucking don't even remember watching. And that felt good because he's a person who very easily, you know, it would fall back on 2018 and 2019. You know, and still think fucking, I don't know, Rocky Romero is a prominent junior heavyweight or something. You know what I mean? Like he's in, you know, there and he's going to stick there. Like this person got excited that, AJ Styles is going to be apparently wrestling a few shows in Noah. Right. So that's what we're talking about. It felt good. It felt great to have that because that, to me, that just screams freshness, absolute freshness.
And also another encouraging thing, how many of these guys in this field have come through the New Japan Dojo system?
That's another thing, yeah.
Naito, Shota, Okan, I mean, do we count Gabe Kidd, sure. Evil, Goto, Tsuji, Henare, Finley, Narita, right. Yuya?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big win. That's a huge win.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the majority of the blocks are homegrown talents. And even if they weren't homegrown, they really are associated with New Japan. I mean, I think everyone associates Zach with New Japan. I think everyone associates El Phantasmo with New Japan. Look, between the people that are definitely in and the qualifiers, I couldn't be happier. Trust me, I couldn't be happier. Once again, given the cards that we have been dealt, it could have been very easy for them to be like, hey, Will, you want to do G1? Or, you know, Okada. You know, they could have. I'm sure they could have. They didn't. They had the guts and the really the guts to say, okay, fuck it. Let's go. We gotta do this. I'm excited. I'm sorry. I haven't been this excited, not only for G1, but for New Japan in general in a long time. And this is going to be a good summer. I really feel it in my bones. This is going to be a good summer.
I'm going to push you for some early predictions then. So, of course, we've got three people going through to latter stages of the tournament. The first place goes straight through to the block final, semi-final, would that be?
Yeah.
And the second and third place have a playoff to decide who faces the block winner. Give me some names. Who do you think are early contenders for you for those top three spots in each block?
Again, I've wanted this since the beginning of the year. It does feel like all the moons are and planets are aligning for Zach. I would love to see that. I think some early favorites. I think Zach is in that mix. I think Shota is in that mix. And I think obviously Naito is in that mix. In B, I think Yoda Tsuji's in that mix. I think David Finley's in that mix. I don't know if Yuya is in that mix yet. Yeah.
How about Takeshita? I mean, I think we need to talk about him. So Kid Killowatt says, it's been reported that Takeshita has been very unhappy in AEW. I know he's an original DDT wrestler, but what are the chances that this G1 appearance opens the door for him to sign with New Japan? Mm-hmm. If both sides want to, Khan needs to make this happen, right? I'll tell you, Damon, like, if you had given me free pick anyone from AEW to be in the G1, I would have picked Takeshita.
So I agree.
I'm over the moon that he is in there. He is such a talent. And, you know, there's almost the danger here that he's going to... oh, dear. Switzerland have just broken Scottish hearts. But yeah, there's a real chance here that he is going to show up some of those guys we were talking about. Oh, no, it's offside. Scotland's
offside.
Offside.
There's a chance,
there's a good chance he's going to show up some of these New Japan guys, or at the very least, you know, light a fire under them so they know that they've got to deliver big in this tournament, because he's an exceptional talent. And I would be absolutely thrilled if this is somehow a way to backdoor him into signing a contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Even if he doesn't, I think there's a strong case to be made for him running the table and making it through to the semi-final at least, because that's how highly I rate him. And if you can get him to put pen to paper and sign for New Japan,
that's the thing.
Then to me, he's winning this G1, he's winning the title off Naito, and he's holding it for a year until next Wrestle Kingdom. He immediately solves that problem. That of, you know, guys like Okada, Jay White, that sort of void and Ospreay leaving, of having a tippy top credible guy that you can sort of plug straight in at the top. To me, he would be coming in and being like, look, I've just walked into your company, taken your top prize. What are you bitches going to do about it? And then you set up a whole year to build all the other guys, all the contenders, to get them where you need to be. Because it feels like the talents that's left in recent years, things have kind of been rushed along a bit faster than the company would have liked. So that immediately solves that problem if you can get Takeshita to sign with New Japan, and sets up a ton of fascinating stories and brilliant potential matches. So his inclusion is such a massive win and one of the things I'm most excited about.
Massive win. Here's why I didn't include him. I don't trust New Japan yet. And I'm going to, like everything you outlined, trust me. It's not like I haven't had my dick out just fucking with the excitement of what you outlined. That would be a dream scenario. Trust me. If the rumors are true that he is unhappy, I would hope that New Japan would do. Look, if they're willing to bring out the red carpet for fucking Matt Riddle and Dolphy Z, Nikki M, whatever the fuck is he wants to be called this week, I would assume that if there was a slight chance of a signing or at least some type of commitment, then I would be willing to do everything that you just outlined. All I need is just a little commitment. All I need is just something that gives me that hope and promise. Because at the end of the day, like, I don't want this to be rent a wrestler. I really don't. Like, if he's going to be in the tournament, fine. I mean, that's a net positive. Don't get me wrong. But in the same breath, like, if on the table is him being a New Japan Pro Wrestling wrestler contracted, sky's the limit. I would have zero problem doing everything that you outlined. So that's why I'm a little hesitant. Only because, again, G1 in and itself is a super positive step in the right direction, at least in our eyes, right? And I think a lot of people who follow this product. That being said, you got to prove it to me, right? Keep the momentum going, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Keep listening to this show and stealing our ideas. That's what you can do. That's what you do. But no, I mean, if there is a glimmer of hope of that happening, I'm all in. I would be fine with it.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick now, then my final would be Shota Umino against Takeshita. And if you get Takeshita to sign, then Takeshita wins. And then, you know, you do a big Kikuchi moment with Shota, have him cry, little baby tears. And then he is the guy who is on that long chase. Takeshita wins the title of Naito at Wrestle Kingdom, holds it for a whole year. Then Shota wins next year's G1, challenges Takeshita at Wrestle Kingdom and wins back the pride of the company and wins the title. So that would be my fantasy booking, because out of all the New Japan affiliate guys, this sort of new crop of young talent, I think Shota is the closest to being the finished article. But yes, a lot of exciting possibilities. Although we do have to discuss it. Ruff says, with the news that Shota has a fractured hip, how does that affect the potential matchups in A block? I think we'll be all right. I'm confident he will be healthy and recovered in time for
the G1 climax. What gives you that confidence? Yeah,
call me an optimist. Call me a...
are you a medical doctor? Are you a medical professional?
I hear broken hips are very easy to recover from.
Right, and broken hearts. They both seem to be you. So they can both do that. I tell you what, again, we're not naming names. We're trying to be walking on eggshells. Do you block A, again, Shota in there? There are other names that are also in block A. Were you surprised by one in particular in the same block?
Well, yeah, the layout of the blocks is interesting. Mm-hmm. And it seems that they've deliberately kept a lot of people out of B block. And I'm sort of trying to unpick the intentionality of that, because it does seem a bit lopsided. Like, on paper, A block looks a lot stronger than B block. And I'm wondering now, is that them trying to keep Shota away from guys like Tsuji and Ren and Yuya and Takeshita, because Shota is their guy? Now, obviously, they've got no problem putting him in there with, I don't know, like just picking the name at random, like a Gabe Kidd. No issues with that.
No.
But, you know, the theme of A block does seem to be Naito and friends. So we've got Naito and all the guys that he's got history with, guys from his own faction like Shingo, guys that used to be in his faction like Sanada and Evil, guys he's, you know, had a lot of history with. So, yeah, there's just a lot of interesting wrinkles to the way they've laid out the blocks here. But, yeah, it seems that Shota's been kept away from all the other people I've mentioned,
right,
for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any one particular match that you're going to circle? I'll start with A block. Is there a particular match that you kind of are somewhat interested in saying?
July 23rd, already circled on my calendar, Damon. Mm. Looking forward to that one.
Who's headlining that one?
I don't know. The listeners can look it up for me. But definitely July 23rd is the one.
That's the one, huh? Okay.
We're going to see scores settled and grudges laid for all to see. Settle it in the ring,
yeah.
Like gentlemen.
Yeah.
The way God intended.
The way God intended. All right. That's block A. Block B, certainly not enough tongue-in-cheek innuendo, but... how about Block B, or is there anything that you're circling there?
Is it? I think it's the first night where we're getting Takeshita versus Tsuji.
Yeah.
That one feels very, very big. You know, like all the things I've mentioned, guy from an outside promotion coming in, Tsuji trying to assert his dominance and pride of the company, and I feel that is a match we may see more than once.
Yeah,
put it that way.
I think you nailed that one. Yeah, there's a lot. I'm digging it. I really am digging it. This should be fun. This should be really fun. Do you want to do block qualifiers? Do you want to say who?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's do it. Who makes it out of block A?
Because that's really interesting to me. So, looking at the A block one, there's a lot to unpick here because, like, we love Ishii, but I think he has been put in this qualifier because, as I've said it a million times, I don't think he can do the G1. For me, like him winning this qualifier would be a cool story, but it would also be mental that a guy who we have doubts about doing a 9-match G1 is then doing an 11-match G1.
Right.
Because we're just giving him an extra couple of qualifier matches for shits and giggles. So I don't think Ishii is winning, even though I would love to have him in the G1. I think he's not going to be doing it. Like I said last week, this is a good opportunity to have these guys who can't do the meat grinder have memorable spots where they can put someone else over and make the best out of it. Yoshihashi versus Chase Owens. Oh, Damon, that's going to hit like the purest crack when Yoshihashi pins Chase Owens this Saturday. I'm going to be jumping out of my chair. I'm going to be doing the Jose Mourinho running around the fields, sliding to my knees. That is going to be the biggest moment of We're So Back when Chase Owens is sent fucking packing from this qualifying tournament. I mean, worst case scenario, like if he wins this qualifying tournament and gets in, then it's over. We're done.
Yeah.
Packing it in. Yoshihashi, I'll be very happy to get in as well because, again, I think he's a great wrestler and he always brings it in G1. But this is very hard to pick. I could see... Don't make me pick a Chase Owens win. I'm just going to be optimistic and say Yoshihashi wins that one. And then we get Yoshihashi versus Ishii on the left side of the bracket. And Ishii wins that. So we've got Ishii going through to the final on the left side. Right side, we're starting with Callum Newman against Yujiro. Callum Newman's definitely winning that. Then Callum against Kenta. Okay, Callum should be winning that. Callum should be winning this whole A block qualifier. I think Callum Newman getting his win back over Ishii is the play here. And they've been very deliberate with the way they've been building Callum Newman, having singles matches against guys like Ishii and Naito and Finlay and even like Mikey Nichols, guys where he is going to be working that style where he's working from below, being the underdog, high energy, baby face in peril, building the crowd sympathy where he's almost certainly going to lose, but to build a compelling wrestling match out of that. They have been giving him plenty of practice with that. So I think the story here is him being Ishii in the final and Callum Newman being your A-block qualifier.
Oh, my God. I mean, come on. Who's that fucking pumped up for that? Let's go. All right, A. Look, again, we said it last week. The only thing stopping Tomohiro Ishii is, like, certainly not mentally. He's like, because he's going 100 miles an hour. He's being Big Tom and fucking... whatever, we'll cash, you know, we'll wait for the bills to come due in 5 years. Unfortunately, that's going to be the sad reality, but whatever, let's live in the fucking moment, right? YOLO. I would have no problem with him being in it. Truth be told, I would not have any problem whatsoever. He's going to do Big Tom things, and I, you know, if he can hold his own for the grind. Like, to me, if he's in, he's not making it through. Like, they're going to pull him midway. That's really my honest to God feeling of it. So if they did say, okay, we'll go with you, dude, they're going to pull them halfway through. Right. And I hate when they do that. I do. So let's just cut to the chase and let's say, sit this one out this year. Yoshihashi, truth be told, he probably deserves to be in. Like if anybody deserves to be in, and I hate that term, but if anybody deserves to be in, like, that dude put up with a lot of shit and made, along with Hirooki Goto, help make those tag titles relevant for a long time. And they continually go back to him to say, okay, help us out. That, the six, never six man, like, those COVID era shows, truth be told, like, he was an MVP of that era. Like, think of that. And he truly was. So if anybody deserves, or, you know, needs to get that little fucking reward, that bonus check, it's probably him. He's still not making it. Kenta. Do I want to see him in it? No. But he's got enough fucking of a, you know, a big enough resume / CV that of anybody there, he probably would be in just on name recognition alone. Yujiro, no. There's not a scenario on God's green earth I can see that happening. I just don't see it happening. Don't want it to happen. Let's not make it happen. Which leaves us with Kellum. And you're right. There's no accident of him being in all these singles matches, kind of getting close. This is what this fucking qualifier is for. This is what this is for. There's no reason why. Again, we had the guts to do block A and block B. Really, it. Let's be honest. I mean, it had to be done, but it's gutsy. This is the premier event of the summer. It's gutsy. They're taking a lot of chances. Take one more. So for me, block A, it's really between Ishii and Kellum. And again, the idea of Kellum going over all of those guys. There's not a person there that I can't say wouldn't benefit, or Kellum, you know, wouldn't benefit getting a win over. So do it. Have the guts and do it. And it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter if he's... It doesn't matter that he's going to be a guy that probably in block A take more losses than wins, if we're being fair. That's okay. Yeah, that is A-okay. Because honestly, it's him getting in it. And then build. I'm perfectly fine with that. Perfectly fine. He doesn't have to fucking win the whole thing. Getting in it is enough right now. Right now as we speak. All right. So how about block B?
So block B, let's go from the left side of the bracket, where the story set up seems to be Oleg Bolton against his never six-man fellow champion tag partner. So he's going to face Yano first, and then the winner of that is going to face Tanahashi. I think Ole's going to beat Yano, and then him against Tanahashi is a bit of a coin flip for me, because the chalk pick for this whole B block play seems to be Tanahashi. There are some people who are convinced that he is going to be going through, and that's an easy way to introduce a story of Tanahashi, you know, maybe saying that it's going to be his last G1. So there's some juice in that. I don't think the way that Oleg has been booked lends any suggestion that he is going to be put in the G1 climax, because he's not been given the same opportunities as Kellum Newman. His singles matches have been mostly against young lions. There've been a couple against more high profile opposition. Like, there was a TV title match against Zach a while back, but it doesn't look like, if you look at the matches he's been involved in, it doesn't look like a guy being prepped to work a G1 climax. So as much as I would like to see him in it, I don't think he is. So the question for me is, does he get past Tanahashi? So who is in the B block qualifier final? And I would say having a close competitive match with Tanahashi, and Tanahashi maybe sort of squeaking the win, is probably the play here. So I'm saying Tanahashi to get through on the left side. On the right side, we got TJP and Satoshi Kojima. So TJP's obviously been making a lot of noise about being the captain of United Empire and wanting to be in the G1. to me, there's no justification for him being in the G1 over a lot of the guys we've been talking about. Now, does he get the win over Kojima to maybe set up something MLW-related? I think that is probably the more likely outcome, although I would love to see Kojima going through and Kojima versus Taichi at Corrigan Hall would be incredible. Yeah. Just think of the sort of Kings Road-style vibes in that match. But yeah, it's probably more likely to be TJP. And then we set up TJP versus Taichi. So Taichi is the guy that I want to see going through here. And this could be pure huffing of copium from me, but he's been making a lot of noise about being overlooked and how the veterans are being disrespected. And that's been picked up by a few outlets. I think it might have been Tokyo Sports actually that picked up on it, which to me makes me think, huh, well, maybe this is the angle. This is what they're trying to lean in towards. So we've got one playing bracket where we're putting through a young guy and another one where we're doing sort of like an underdog cult hero veteran who's, you know, being underappreciated. That could be the story there. But again, just could be pure cope from me. Maybe the company just don't value Taichi in the same way I do. But to me, the smart thing to do would be to lean into that and squeeze a bit of drama out of it, because it feels like Taichi is a guy that I think a lot of fans would get behind that story about him making this underdog run and proving his value and getting his way into the G1. And also, TJP did pin Taichi fairly recently in the Faction Warfare Gauntlet match. So him pinning Taichi twice is unconscionable for me. So I think this is a spot for Taichi to get his win back. And then we're looking at a final. For me, Taichi against Tanahashi. It could be Taichi against Oleg, actually. There's been some hints of that, you know, with some choices of photos and people squaring off in the ring. So I think Oleg versus Taichi is an equally appealing final. But more likely, I think, Taichi against Tanahashi. Oh, fuck it. I'm sick. Let's have Taichi. Taichi, come on, my boy.
All right. I love it. Like, of all of them, I would love to see that. I'd love to see Taichi in. So let me make that point clear. I can't believe I'm saying that, you know. But times change, and he's certainly not that same guy that 2018 New Japan for pro wrestling fan would be. But I'd be thrilled. I don't see it happening, though. I don't. TJP. I mean, let's be truthful. That's pretty sexy in B block. Like, him being in it, I think you're going to get some really fucking great matches.
Like, I know he can be a bit annoying and a weirdo, but he's had an outstanding Best of the Super Juniors. And just if we're looking for sort of who's the best work rate option from this list, I mean, for me, Taichi would be number one, but TJP not too far behind second. Like, him in B block mixing up with some of those guys would be exciting for me.
No doubt, right? No doubt. Kojima. Can't see it, but you're right. I mean, this does kind of smell like something that would be a setup for him spending some summer times. And he loves coming over to States. You know that. He can't get enough of the bread. So, I can't see him making it through. Oleg, I don't know. I think it would be somewhat beating us over the head of, okay, we're cleaning the slate. You know, I'm going to say not yet. And you're right. There really hasn't been a true flag in the sand moment of, okay, he's kind of making that turn toward being a legitimate competitive singles guy. Could this happen here? It could. I don't see it happening. Toriano, no parts of it whatsoever. There's no, aside from being a guy that's going to lose, there is absolutely zero value in having him in G1. There really isn't. And don't give me the night off, and don't give me the comedy match. I don't want to hear it. Not this year. There's too many guys that can go. We don't need that right now.
No nights off. Yep. No nights off. Put your fucking working boots on.
Yep. Unacceptable nights off. Unacceptable. Which leaves us to a story that, like, if this is it, if this is the last one, then let's go out and let's have a party with the last one, with Hiroshi Tanahashi. Again, do I think that there's more value in him putting over somebody to get into the tournament? I do. But with all due respect.
And also, sorry, the insanity of making him work two extra matches. If, again, the concerns about can he hold up physically.
Right.
Yeah, let's have him do 11 matches instead of 9.
No doubt.
Would make zero sense to me.
I agree. Trust me, I get it. I get it. But if you of all those guys, right, again, TJP, he's a workhorse. Taichi can obviously fucking go. You know what? Kojima can go. I just don't know about the grind of a G1. And I think that you'll have more matches that don't quite land than that do. Oleg could be very interesting. I just don't see it being it happening this year. Yano, we want no parts of it. Hiroshi Tanahashi, I'll never count him out. I'll never say, you know what, dude, you're too fucking banged up. You just can't do it. Like, I just can't. And like in a big spot, it's hard. The problem is that there are 11, 12 big spots. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too much. And again, if it's determined that this is it, that this is his last one, then we got to ride that horse and go into it. And trust me, I wouldn't have that big of a problem with it. I would have no problem with it. Given everything that we've gotten, you know what? If I have to eat some fucking vegetables with all of my cake and candy and delicious, you know, foods, great. So be it. I think it's. This one's tough, actually. All right, let's eliminate Yano. He's not in. I'm going to eliminate Bolton. Not in. I'm going to eliminate Kojima. Not in. So now we're talking. It's really between three people: Tanahashi, Taichi, TJP. And I can see it being Taichi and the brackets would align, right? Taichi and Tanahashi.
Yeah.
I'm going Tanahashi. And again, I think if we could confirm that this is his last one, and we don't know, but if that's the direction, how about this? That's the only condition I would want him in, if this is the last one, because he'll make it special. He'll make it work. I trust him wholeheartedly. If it's not, then do I really want to, again, the grind of G1. I'd rather have Taichi. I'd rather have TJP, to be quite frank, if we're talking about the grind of G1. Here's the asterisk. If this is his last one, and it's announced and it's promoted, then let's fucking do it. Because here's the thing, Joel. There's got to be a last one. Got to be. Why not now? I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just have no desire to watch 11 Hiroshi Tanahashi singles matches at this point. And again, if he is really serious with his 10-point manifesto about pushing the youth, then it's got to be Taichi, young up-and-coming right, Taichi, right. Going all the way. All right. But yeah, there's just they've done a really good job, I think, setting out these brackets and balancing it the way they have. There's a huge amount of drama, so many different stories weaved into this. And I've been begging for play-in tournaments for years on this podcast. And it just seemed like such a no-brainer to me. And now I'm genuinely excited about Saturday and Sunday on what would otherwise be just like a nothing Kizuna Road Tour. And now there's a bit of juice in there. I can't wait to watch Chase Owens versus Yoshihashi. And I never thought I'd say that.
Right. I mean, it's amazing when you put a little value in it. You know, it's amazing when you put to give the fucking hockey analogy, it's like, you know, middle of January, and you're putting a couple dollars down on Columbus versus Anaheim. You're like, who gives a fuck about either team? But all right, I got a couple bucks on the line. Let's play this out. You have instant stakes. It's we've been begging for it for years. You've been begging for it for years. I've been begging for it for years. It's a good thing, and I bet the matches will be great. There'll be plenty of drama. We will be on the edge of our seats because, truth be told, I'm into it. I want I want to see who gets in. I want to see what creative things they got up their sleeve. Maybe they don't have anything creative, but look, it instantly raises my interest level, because you're right. This could have just been a fucking throwaway show just to get from point A to point B. And it's not. There's something there. There's some steak behind the sizzle. And I don't think anybody's complaining about that at all.
Chase Owens was on guest commentary during a Sunday show. He sounded so upset. It was delicious after they did the block announcements. And then he's sort of grumbling about why people from outside the company get to be in. And you could just tell. I mean, I know he's playing a heel character, but you could tell he was pissed. And,
a little sore. Huh? A little
I like that very, very much.
I mean, I'm sure they're nice paydays, right? I'm sure they're nice paydays for them, right?
Oh, he's going to let people on Reddit know all about the paydays he's receiving, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Go get him, Chase.
After eating the pinta Yoshihashi, he'll be walking down the ramp, getting the phone out straight away to brag about his contract and how much money he's definitely really earning.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good for him. Everybody's getting rich in New Japan.
Right. New Japan Seoul. Day one,
yeah,
in the Hokkaido Prefectural Sports Center. Not a good attendance, 2,370. So it's about half what they did for the New Beginning show with Sanada against Naito. Mm-hmm. Multiverse A says, should the attendance number for Seoul be a cause of concern?
No.
The drop from New Beginning Night 2 in Sapporo to this show was startling, or was it just one card that did not click with the ticket buying audience?
Bingo. I mean, honestly, we said the same thing, but in a positive way about Dominion. Right, we were like, "Hey, I don't know how the fuck they did it, but they did it." All right, same thing here. Like, don't put too much stock in one show. If this were consistently, yeah, that's definitely cause for concern. I don't know. Look, let's be very truthful. If it wasn't for this fucking podcast, I don't think I would have known that there was a New Japan Seoul show. You know, it just didn't seem like it was on anybody's radar, let alone ticket buying public. I mean, things like that happen, right? No, I'm not concerned. Am I disappointed? Sure. I think everybody in the company is. I mean, that's how they pay the bills. But no, I'm not ready to sell my Bushiroad stock yet. Not yet, anyway. I should have sold it, but long ago. I don't have any Bushiroad stock. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they announced huge matches far in advance, and this is a new tour. I mean, it doesn't have the brand recognition, the name value of. Like, if you see New Beginning Night 2 in Sapporo, you know you're going to get good stuff. You know they're going to load that up. There's going to be a world title match, but people maybe didn't know what to expect with this one, and so we're a bit hesitant on doing stuff like, you know, arranging travel and yeah, hotels and things like that. So I get that. I'm going to take this one with a pinch of salt, and I would be the first person to hold New Japan's feet to the fire if I thought it was, you know, a big L, but I don't think it is. So I'm willing to hand wave this one for now. But let's get into the matches themselves. I'm going to skip most of the undercard except for the kickoff match, which was Daiki Nagai versus Masatoru Yasuda, which I thought was notable for Yasuda. I thought it was really, really impressive here, actually, for his debut match. And the pair of them actually do seem further along significantly than the previous two young lions, Katsuya Morishima and Shoma Kato, who have made very little impression on me in the couple of months that they've been wrestling with the company. But already, obviously, Yasuda has that sort of pedigree of being the son of a luchador. So he's got that going for him. But just the pair of them, they just seem to have more Christmas, more snap, Damon, in their work than the other two. So Nagai's been talking about how he looks up to Taiji Ishimori. He wants to be the next Ishimori. So, I thought that was I don't know if you saw this one, but Yasuda is the guy who I would be telling you to pay attention to, because I think he's got something there.
Okay. I mean, I did see. I always try to not, you know, especially on a debut match. What do they give? 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say this guy's going to be a fucking superstar and this guy's not because of X, Y, and Z. I don't know. I'm not that far advanced. Sorry. That being said, again, I've said it a million times, I kind of just look for like crowd reactions. If they're able to control their bodies, like feet positioning kind of things. And I know that the term crispness gets thrown around a lot, but you know, you don't want to see them fuck up, right? And if you do see them fuck up, you do want to see them how they recover. And also, again, you're just looking for, okay, you're wrestling in front of a crowd. Like, can you draw something out of them, the crowd, that is, and get reactions? And it's hard to do when you're a young lion and given 10 minutes and a limited move set and all of that. I thought they did fine. Let's put it that way. I think they did fine. It's hard to judge who has a future and who doesn't, but like those kind of tiny things that I look at, especially when it comes to debut matches and young lion matches, I think they did well. Like, I didn't see anything glaring. I didn't see anything that where I was just like, oh God almighty, this fucking guy. Yeah, I thought they did well. Given the circumstances, yeah, I thought they did well.
Right, well, I'm just going to skip straight ahead then to the NEVER Openweight Six-Man Tag Team Title match where Tanahashi, Oleg, and Yano defeated LIJ, Bushi, Hiromu, and Tsuji. 9 minutes, 52 seconds.
Why?
I don't know.
You know,
I guess, right, I mean, maybe having the six-man belts on Tanahashi, Oleg, and Yano adds a bit more juice to that side of the bracket of their playing. But
okay, then why change it? Why? You know, that's
to justify having a rematch. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of decisions on having these rematches left me scratching my head. This is one of them. The NEVER title is another one.
Yeah,
the match was fine.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say.
I mean, it always leaves me scratching in my head of why even go through this? Like, wouldn't successful defenses mean more than winning titles, like losing titles and then winning titles? But I don't know. That's one weird thing that I never really connected with. I've never really gotten. Like, I just feel like what was the point? Why are you doing it? Because to me, I don't know. It just feels like you can make an argument, I guess, that, hey, anybody can lose a title on any given night. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the wacky world of pro wrestling. Okay, great. But also you can make the argument of, okay, a successful defense, you know, you're strengthening the titles, I guess. You're strengthening that team as legitimate. And again, I'll put in air quotes. I don't know. I don't think here's the thing. All that being said, I was pleasantly surprised with this match. Like, I thought the match was pretty damn good. You know, I don't think it was anything where, again, we're putting it on match of the year contender. But I think overall it was better than I thought. And I didn't think it was going to be bad. And I think it over-delivered, especially given where it is on the show and the fact that they said, okay, fuck it, we're going to swap the titles again. I was into it. I truly was into it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and it seems to be setting up some interesting stuff in the future. Like, there seems to be something going on between Tsuji and Tanahashi. They seem to want a match together. And also, I noticed parts where Oleg is trying to get Suji's attention, but Suji's just sort of blowing him off. So, yeah, we're setting up sowing some seeds for the future. So, yeah, this was fine, apart from the sort of weird hot shot of the title. Next match was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Title match with Bullet Club War Dogs, Clark Connors and Driller Maloney, defeating TMDK, Kosei Fujita and Robbie Eagles in 17 minutes, 52 seconds. This one, I was expecting a bit more from this. It seemed like as they were starting to get out of third gear with the Kosei Fujita comeback, then War Dogs killed it dead. And that may have been by design. And there's sort of an interesting angle to this in as much as War Dogs have seemingly just cleared out the whole junior tag division. They've beaten everyone. They've beaten all the established teams. So it leaves you thinking, well, what's next for them? And I think it could be the story of Robbie and Fujita building back up and maybe winning the Super Junior Tag League and then getting their rematch at Wrestle Kingdom, because that seems to be the sort of booking that New Japan like to do with the junior tag titles. But at the very least, it set up War Dogs as extremely dominant champions. And this match certainly has some cool moments, like the Driller Killer to Robbie Eagles on the outside. That was pretty sensational. Mm-hmm. And just Fujita coming up short at the end there. And it just feels like a match that they are going to go back to at some point in the future.
I think definitely they will. And, you know, July is right around the corner. And you're right, the junior tag league is closer than you think. Yeah, I have no problems establishing dominance, like War Dog dominance, I guess, until we figure out who the next challenger is. I would not be surprised if they're in the mix. I thought the match was, I don't know, I thought it was better than I mean, I had high expectations for it, just with the names on paper. And I don't think it is the greatest junior tag match I've ever seen. I thought it was good. I really did. I thought it was good. I had no problem with War Dogs getting the win. Look, they're not. Here's another thing too. I hate to be this guy, and I could be dead wrong, but let's lay it out there. I don't think they. Never mind. I was going to say something dumb. Like I just don't know if, like, with. It makes more sense to me to keep the titles on, because it's going to be a hard thing to do if we did switch the titles here to keep Robbie and Fujita kind of warm during G1, right? And I think it's a little bit already, like, to already have, like, the established juniors have the titles, that it's not going to be too hard to warm back up because they're already warm. You get my point. And again, it lets Robbie go home, right? It lets Robbie go home. And they don't have to pay for a fucking hotel and all that shit. Yeah, I think I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I don't know. I do like, you know, TMDK. I like the whole faction. They're probably my favorite faction. But yeah. I think the smart move was here to keep the titles on them, keep them warm while the focus is off of the juniors as we build toward G1. And then, yeah, we'll see what happens when they return. And again, we got Tag Lee coming up, and I'm telling you, Wrestle Kingdom's going to be here before you know it. I know that's preposterous to sound as the temperatures are rising here in the Northeast. It's right around the corner, Joel. It's right around the corner. It's going to be here sooner than later.
Never open weight title match. Henare defeats Shingo Takagi, 18 minutes, 46 Finally. Seconds. Finally, great moment for Henare. Very, very pleased to see him get a title that obviously means a lot to him. You could tell in his backstage comments that this is a really nice moment for him and everything he struggled through, all the injuries, and finally making it to a spot that he's proud of. They should have done it last week. Same issue with the six-man titles, dragging this out. And Andrew on our Discord has given the slightly unkind nickname of Diminishingo Returns.
Oh, that's not right. That's not right. But come on.
He may have a point there, because it just seems that the quality of the Henare and Shingo matches peaked last year. And we just seem the matches they're having are very, very good. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're both working extremely hard, but are lacking those sort of exclamation points, those wow moments that make it pop and make it memorable.
And we're blaming Shingo for that? Like,
yeah, I am.
Okay.
I'm blaming him. He's looking ahead. He said, I understand. He's in the G1. He's got the Owen Hart thing coming up. And, you know, maybe he's just, dare I say it, slowing down a touch.
Okay.
I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
All right.
But he just seems to be doing fewer interesting and dynamic things than he has done previously.
Okay. That might be by choice. Might be that, you know, they just ran out of ideas, maybe. It might be that they, I don't know. Sometimes it just doesn't work out, right? And again, let's be very clear. Matches were really good. They weren't great, but they were very good. Here's the good news. You'll have plenty of opportunity if you want to put people on fraud watch or diminishing return.
Washed watch.
Wash.
She goes on watch okay. with Naito and Goto.
As well. Okay. Well, you got plenty of opportunity. Well, Hinare, and here's the good news too. Hinare's not in the same block, right? So there's plenty of opportunity for people to prove people wrong. But again, you're right. I think the title change should have happened previous. There was no need to stretch it out this far. And this is the problem when they do that. This is the problem because strike while the iron's hot. Strike while the iron's hot. Do it while the iron's hot. And I don't know if we necessarily needed to have a, you know, guys not answering the 10 count and then doing it, you know, running it back. This was a good match. I think we were looking for another level, and that's fine. I'm more excited for the fact that, A, Hinari's got himself a singles title, which, again, I hate saying the term, but I use it a lot anyway, so I can't hate it that much. He deserved. And let's see what else he's got. You know, he's going to have plenty of opportunities to prove people, any naysayers and doubters, wrong. I'm excited. I'm glad that he's given the opportunity to rock. So let's do it. Let's rock.
Richard says, do you think Shingo has any chance of winning the G1? No, not for me. No. He's had his moment. It was during COVID, and that's that. We're done with that.
And here's the thing. He had a nice run where he was one of, if not in the top three or four guys in New Japan. Like, truly. I'm not saying that he can't get a tap on the shoulder and go. The dude's been in the business for quite a long time. Let's remember that. So, I would say if he wins G1, I'm not doing any of the wacky radio bit shit. I can't see it happening. Zero chance.
Next was the IWGP Global Heavyweight title match with David Finlay defeating Sanada in 25 minutes and 31 seconds. Now, last week, you had low expectations of this. I said, I think it would deliver. Who was right?
I think we were both right. How about that?
No.
No. I'm right then, because it didn't deliver. Do you think it delivered?
It did.
Oh.
I thought it was really good.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Right, the cage match inmates rate this 7.55.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought it was really good. I think these guys, and I understand where your reservations were, even though they did have a really good New Japan Cup final last year. But these are guys who I know people sort of worry about them, and sometimes they don't hit consistently, but they inexplicably have really good chemistry together. Yeah. I think some of the sequences, there was one that just fell apart slightly in the closing stretch, but they recovered it in an authentic way that didn't ruin my suspension of disbelief. But I thought there were some really interesting counters. I thought they have really good chemistry and brought the best out of each other, which was not a surprise for me because, like I said, we've seen it before last year, and yeah, they just seem to mesh really well together.
You're probably right. You're probably right, because I will say this. And it's probably gotten to the point where it's unfair, but I don't give a shit about Sonata, man. And I think that's the biggest problem.
That's fine. That's absolutely fair. Like my hot take was actually going to be about David Finlay. And I was going to say he has quietly had a really good year.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's getting the respect that he deserves.
That's fair. I think that's very fair, actually. I don't know. I could not find the groove on this match. I don't know what it was. I do know what it was. It was fucking Sanada. And it's an unfair thing, but I go into these matches with him just not an open mind. I'll be honest. I just don't have an open mind. And I feel like that...
We've seen everything. Like we've seen Sanada's ceiling. He's not going to get any better than this. So we've seen his peak. We know exactly what he's capable of. So there are no surprises anymore. So he's a guy for me that I'm never going to get disappointed by because, yeah, he is what he is at this point.
Yeah, it's my mistake. Honestly, it's my mistake. It definitely is. And I'm not saying this match was terrible. It just didn't land with me. Like, I didn't hate it, but it did nothing for me. I'm surprised it got so high on cage. Usually cage matches kind of low. Like, usually they fucking nitpick everything. I don't know. I feel like I'm just a grouch when it comes to Sonata. It just didn't fucking do anything for me. I apologize. It wasn't for me.
No, that's fine. And I think the focus here is Finlay, not Sonata. I think Sonata is a guy who, dare I say, is probably being downcycled at this point. You know, he's had his big run. He had his title run. He had his Wrestle Kingdom main event. And now it's time for him to slide back into the mid-card. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, can't push everyone, but I think his time, for now at least, is done. And it's time to start looking at other people. And yeah, David Finlay getting a successful defense. We've not had too many of those with this title, but I'm glad that he is getting some shine.
I'm with you. I don't know. I'm worried about, like, now that we mentioned his name, I didn't really pay much mind to the capitalization in that block A. I kind of don't want to see Sonata, but yeah, I get it. I'm fine. You know? I don't want to see Sonata. All right. Main event.
Main event. Okay. So RWGP junior heavyweight title steel cage match. El Desperado defeats Show 28 minutes, 57 seconds. And Despy is our new junior heavyweight title. So a big week for El Desperado. So First of all, very happy to see him main eventing two shows like this and getting his flowers, winning best of the Super Juniors, winning the junior heavyweight title back, which he never should have lost in the first place, but there you go. New Japan does daft things sometimes. This match was
weird.
It was okay. Yeah. I mean, it was weird because Sho was forced to wrestle cleanly for the most part, and he's not as good at it as he used to be. Maybe he's just rusty. He's like so used to doing all the shenanigans that this one was, I don't know, I just found it a little bit jarring, but the work was really good. And if I sort of compartmentalized that sort of the strangeness of it, I thought they did a pretty good job there. But you just find yourself waiting for the shenanigans because you know it's going to come at some point, and it did come. And they were lobbing chairs at each other. I thought the finish was very cool with him dropping Show on his head. But this was all right. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it, really.
You're exactly right. And I wouldn't necessarily have that big of a problem with everything that you said, except the fact that this was a cage match. I'm telling you, there's something weird about New Japan cage matches that I just don't fucking dig. I don't know. I just don't like them at all. That being said, I did like, you know, our little faction warfare cage match, but that, I feel like that's a different scenario altogether. I don't know. I just don't feel like New Japan cage matches land for me either. I don't know. It's just a thing. Yeah, Show. Look. I don't know, man. I don't know what we do with him. Because you're right. That same feeling that you had of, man, maybe he just forgot how to be a good wrestler. You know, that's exactly how I felt. That was it. Yeah, I don't know. There was such a fucking disconnect from shithousery Show and Show, we need you to really fucking deliver here. And it just was just weird. Like, it was just like, as much as Sonata, as I say, didn't land with me, like, this just felt so fucking weird. I don't know. Look, here's the good news. Despy's your champion. Right. I don't think anybody's complaining about that. If we're going to take a little time off from the juniors, I think I like the fact that that junior heavyweight title is in good hands. And here's the thing, too. That's El Desperado likes to be a creative guy. He likes to have his own little shows. He likes to do, like, I don't think that this junior title is going to just sit there and be, you know, put to sleep during the summer. I think there's plenty that'll happen. I don't know what, but again, it's a creative guy. He likes to have his spotlight shows and his little out of pocket New Japan shows. Yeah, I think we'll be in good shape. And once again, I, look, I don't want to sit here and say we need to change it up. Show, you know, it, show is what he is at this point. Like, there's nothing, there's not a lot we're going to be able to do unless they say House of Torture, we're done with it. And that doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon. Is it, can we cool it off a little bit? Possibly. Who knows? You know, it feels like maybe we're in that realm that they're cooling them off a little bit. Will they ever disband? Will they ever just say, fuck it, this was, we're not, no, I don't see that happening. I'm good with the change. I'm excited for what he can bring. And I feel like I'm in a little bit better hands if there's like random El Desperado stuff that we need to be concerned with. I'm more excited about that than anything show would be able to do. So I think it was a good move. And the match was okay. I think the match was okay. Weird, I guess, is the best way I could describe it. The result, I'm pretty pleased with.
I think big picture, looking at our champions at the moment, it's looking a lot healthier and a lot more interesting than it was post New Beginning. Okay. So we got Moxley as our heavyweight champion, but that's probably going to be Naito fairly soon. Then we've got Despy, Henare, Finlay, Gabe Kidd, Jeff Cobb, Great O'Khan,
War Dogs,
TMDK, Clark Connors, Driller Maloney, Oleg Bolton's as six-man champion. I mean, that's good. That's a good lineup of champions.
I know it seems weird. Like, I mean, are you buying stocks? Stonks, if you will?
Yeah, it seems like there's been a change in philosophy, a change in direction, and it's good to see these younger guys with titles and programs being built around them. It's really encouraging. It seems to me that we're heading in the right direction. Yes, darling.
She's like, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to sleep. That's it?
She told me she's hurt her tongue. How did you drink? Oh, she needs a drink.
Oh.
She's hurt her tongue and she needs a drink.
All right. Go get her a drink.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, go ahead. Go get her a drink. She's obviously very thirsty. To answer the question, I do. I'm trying to somewhat temper my excitement. I don't want to, but I just feel like there's been so many opportunities for this company that have fallen by the wayside that I'm afraid to commit. I'm afraid of the committal. But again, that being said, I think for the first time in...
We're so back.
I'm just afraid to commit. I'm afraid to commit, Joel. But let's put it this way. Like, on paper, once again, the cards that we were dealt, this feels good. This does feel good. And again, going into G1 season, it's going to be a good summer. I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's put it this way. We are set up to be in a good spot. I truly believe that. And the direction is clear, it feels like, for the first time in a long time. It's the follow through that I'm a little concerned with, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's turn this thing around and let's do it. Let's go for it. I'm excited. Let's go. Let's fucking go.
All right, so just a little handful of questions before we go. Dean says, what next for ELP, and where do you see his ceiling being on this current roster?
Look, this is it. I mean, look, this is it for the fraud watchers, for the fan, for the person in the middle. Like, this is it. Like, I've put my chips on his number so many times, and sometimes it's been, I'm walking away with a lot of money in my pocket, and there's been other times where it's like, some things have been his fault. Some things I feel like he hasn't really been in a position to make a mark. Pardon the pun. So to answer the question, G1 is it, my man. This is it. This has got to be it. Because guess what? If it is, then boy, we've waited and we're rocking and rolling. If not, We got to cut ties. I'll say it right now. We have to cut ties. So yeah. Hey, guess what? I'm actually looking at New Japan Pro Wrestling's website. Once again, still fucking mess. There's a subdomain of news.njpw1972.com. It's on Medium. I'm looking right at it. It's on Medium. It's like a blog. Oh, this fucking website is such a horror show. Medium. It's on. Look, bring it up. Medium. Good Lord. What are we doing? All right. I'll stop complaining. Fix the fucking website. It's still not fixed. It's what an embarrassment.
The tiny little primary school that I work for, if that website went down, then heads would be rolling.
I just don't understand how it's not fixed. How are we still doing this? Medium. Fucking God almighty. All right. I can't. I get it. Okay. Good. Next. What next question?
Next. George says, do you foresee Kaito to Jake Lee or Ospreay to Callum Newman to be the biggest drop off between the two editions of the G1? I mean, that's a bit of an unkind way to look at things. I mean, the Jake Lee thing, it's whatever for me, but I mean, Callum Newman, if we're going to build this guy up to be a star, then we've got to give him chances like that. Correct. So, I don't know. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Change is good.
Yeah, again, this is what we got to start somewhere, and we got to be all in on it. Pardon the pun. And we are. I'm excited. Can't. Let's. we're moving in this direction, and this is what we've been screaming for the past goddamn year, 2 years. It's here. Right. Like the gifts are under the fucking tree.
Okay, the best wrestler in the world has left. Yes, okay, it's not going to be as good without the best wrestler in the world. Sure. Yes, fine.
Yeah. Guess what? We were dealt a fucking a 6 and a 7, and we were chasing a straight for the fucking longest time. And guess what? We got the river, the turn, all that fucking poker nonsense. It's right there. We're chasing it. We've been chasing it for a while, but it's here. Let's get excited for it. It's here. Christmas morning. It's Christmas fucking morning, kids. Let's see what's underneath the tree.
Nathan says, what are the chances of one of the qualifiers producing a winner for the G1? No, zero. That's not happening.
I can't see anyone that's in the qualifiers winning it. Can't see that. Can I see somebody going deep? I don't know if I want it.
Like, why would you give that rub twice to have them winning a play-in tournament and then also reaching the latter stages or even winning the tournament? That would just seem counterproductive. The whole point of the play-ins is to give a moment to someone who's going to be eating a lot of pins in the G1 anyway. So you want to give them a bit of shine.
Nailed it. That's you're exactly right. 1,000%.
That's it. One more thing I wanted to say. Francesco Acura cut a promo, backstage promo in Japanese, and his Japanese sounded really good, and his friends, his teammates all complimented him on his Japanese, so I'd like to see that as well. I mean, I don't know how long he's been speaking Japanese for, but I've not heard him cut a promo in fluent Japanese before, and that was really good. So just add more evidence to the pile that he should be a guy we are excited about for the future of the junior heavyweight division. And I forgot to mention, of course, that Despy nominated Doki as his next challenger, and they're going to wrestle each other at the end of this tour. So we got that to look forward to as well.
It's going to be good. Yep. Yeah, it's good. Look, I always like it when a lot of the guys that are foreign to New Japan and Japan in general, you know, embrace culture, language. It's not easy. Let's be very truthful. It's not an easy language to just pick up and start speaking, but good for them. Good job. Like it. Love it. Let's do more of it.
Right. So now, listeners, you can all go over to YouTube and go to the Wandering Through Shenmue page and enjoy watching Shenmue View Warehouse Number 8. See you next week.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungi AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.